Good and gracious God, we pray that you would prepare our hearts and our minds, every part of us, every moment of our life, to hear your word, to listen and to be able to follow, to hear these words as they are proclaimed. And you pray that you would inspire my voice as I lift up these words and these that hear. I pray all these things in Christ's name. Amen. I think all of us may have some moments in our life that are kind of planted in our memory in a different way from other things. Those things that kind of get burned. Some of them are bad. Some of them are good. Some of them are just very emotional and meaningful. And I remember a time at Queen Street United Methodist Church at a Christmas time, surrounded by poinsettias and candles with the smells of Christmas around me. Christmas Eve. I was playing the song from Messiah, "He Shall Feed His Flock Like a Shepherd." It was Christmas Eve, and Dan and I have been married for a few years, and Dan is sitting behind me in the choir loft as I play the trumpet to play this piece. But we both know this music so well that as I'm playing it, I'm hearing the words singing in my head. I'm also 6 months pregnant at this time. And actually, about 2 weeks later, I get put on bed rest. And the words echo as I play, "He shall feed his flock like a shepherd, and he shall gather the lambs with his arms and carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with young. Come unto him, all ye that labor. Come unto him, ye that are heavy laden, and he will give you rest. Take his yoke upon you and learn of him, for he is meek and lowly of heart, and ye shall find rest, and ye shall find rest unto your soul. Take his yoke upon you and learn of him, for he is meek and lowly of heart, and ye shall find rest, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." I finished playing that, and I turned around, and Dan would describe it as, he can't explain it, but his eyes began leaking. And there was a moment when I thought, I am the one who is with young. I am the one that this song, this passage, this scripture is speaking to, is calling to me. I am the one that is being fed by the shepherd. There are so many representations of Jesus as the good shepherd, and actually beginning, starting back even into the Old Testament. We have music, so many songs. Donna and I were talking about how one of the pieces that she's going to play is titled "The Good Shepherd." There are many contemporary songs that sit upon this image of Jesus as our good shepherd. There's art, painting, and sculptures. Many of you may have grown up in a church that had a painting that had a picture of Jesus in some way as the shepherd. I remember two from growing up, one where Jesus was cradling the lamb in his arms, almost like a baby, and another where Jesus was carrying the shepherd on his shoulders, probably that it had been wounded. He was carrying that sheep along the way. Well, today is the fourth Sunday of Easter, and it's commonly known as Good Shepherd Sunday because of the texts that are in the lectionary for this Sunday. We are in the middle of the 50 days of Easter. If you count going from Easter Sunday to Pentecost, there are 50 days that we celebrate, and we hear these stories of Jesus as he comes and he tries to help the disciples, to help those who hear his stories understand who he is and what has happened. The Bible is filled with these shepherding images. In the Old Testament, we begin with images that actually, before Jesus, tell us of God pictured as the shepherd and the people as the flock. Psalm 23, many of us know, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Psalm 77, "Thou leadest thy people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron." 79, "We thy people and sheep of thy pasture will give thee thanks forever." And Psalm 95, "He is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the sheep of his hand." In the Old Testament, we also have images of the promised anointed one, the Messiah, as the shepherd of the sheep. In Isaiah 40 is where we find those words that I sang from Messiah. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. In Song of Solomon, we hear, he will be shepherding the flock of the Lord faithfully and righteously and will suffer none of them to stumble in their pasture. He will lead them all aright. In the New Testament, we have so many images of the Good Shepherd. Matthew 18, Jesus is the Good Shepherd who will risk his life to seek and to save the one straying sheep. And Luke, we also talk about all the disciples as being Jesus' flock. So many beautiful images of a shepherd. It's actually interesting, and as you think of this, to understand what that would sound like for those who were hearing these at the time. What a shepherd was, the reality of life as a shepherd in the first century Palestine. It's not a job. You know, we can have jobs today. This was a way of life. To be a shepherd was a 24/7, all day, every day job. It was a life. You were a shepherd. It was a hard life. You were never, ever off duty. You were never on vacation. In addition to being constant, the life was also sometimes very dangerous, fighting wild animals and thieves, protecting the sheep. And those sweet sheep were a little prone to wander. And so you had to also try to help keep the sheep with the rest of the fold. They were considered on the margins of society, the lowest echelon. They often were not even really with society ever because they spent most of their time up in the hills. My husband Dan talks about when he was in Israel seeing the shepherds on the hills and that kind of bringing this idea, this understanding of shepherds to him in more clarity. They were often ceremonially unclean, dirty and working with animals, so they could not participate in much of religious life. They were always with their sheep. They were never apart. They worked on this rugged terrain. The main part of Judea is a central plateau stretching from Bethel to Hebron and for about 35 miles, about 15 miles across. But the landscape is very rocky, very arid, and therefore it's not really used for agriculture. It's not useful for agriculture. There is green, but it's always filled up with rocks. So it can be used, though, for pasturing. So this very landscape also is what kind of sometimes led for those sheep wandering apart. Not just that they sometimes don't listen, which is true, but also because they were wandering, hunting for another good area. The shepherd up on the hills would have with him some equipment to help with his task. He would have his scrip, which was a bag made of animal skin. It would carry his food. He had his sling, which was the weapon of offense and defense. He would use that to ward off animals, but he would also use it to warn sheep if they were wandering too far. For he was so good with that sling that he could actually take the rock and put it right in front, get the attention of the sheep, land it right in front of the nose as a way to say, come on back this way. He also had a staff, a wooden club, which was quite short, had a lump of wood at the end and was often studded with nails. This was the weapon that he used to defend the flock. And he had his rod, which we think often as that shepherd's crook, which was used to corral the sheep who tended to wander off due to that terrain. The relationship of the sheep and the shepherd is also quite different in first century Palestine. For many places, sheep are kept for killing, but in Palestine, sheep are kept for their fleece, for making wool, fine wool. And because of this, the sheep were often with the shepherd for many, many years. The sheep were their constant companions. I think of it as their original fur babies. Often the sheep have many names by which the shepherd might call them. Sometimes nicknames like Black Ear or Brown Leg. I think about we have a wonderful new little kitten who's wonderful and adorable. But because she's a kitten, she's received the nickname from us, the terrorist. Because she stalks and attacks our older cat in quite terrorist ways. So these sweet nicknames that may come out, the shepherd did literally go before the sheep, and the sheep did follow him. The shepherd went first to see that the path was safe, to ensure that there was no danger. It is true that the sheep know and understand their shepherd's voice. They respond to the voice of the shepherd, but they will never answer the voice of a stranger. W.M. Thompson, in his book, The Land and the Book, describes his experience observing the sheep and the shepherds. He says, "The shepherds call sharply from time to time to remind them of his presence. They know his voice, they follow him, but if a stranger call, they stop short. They lift their head in alarm, and if it's repeated, they turn and they flee, because they know not the voice of a stranger." These are all powerful images of the relationship between the shepherd and the flock, comforting, encouraging, vigilance, care. That may be the reason we have so many passages of using this reference to describe the care and the love of God and Jesus for their people. Jesus then says, "I am the good shepherd." But I have to admit to you that unfortunately that is not in my lectionary text. That happens in the next verse in chapter 11. So today, our text is John 10, 1 through 10. Listen for the word of the Lord. "Very truly, I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by another way, is a thief and a bandit. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run from him because they do not know the voice of strangers." Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So again, Jesus said to them, "Very truly, I tell you, I am the gate of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and to kill and destroy. I came that they might have life and have it abundantly." Jesus begins this passage by describing who he is not. He is not like the thieves and the bandits who do not care about the sheep but only want their own gain. Jesus, by contrast, is like the shepherd who enters the sheepfold openly. He is recognized immediately by the sheep who know his voice. He calls the sheep by name. He goes ahead of the sheep, leading them out, and they follow him because they know his voice and they trust his leading. Unfortunately, the listeners, you may have noticed, they don't get it. They do not understand, the narrator tells us. So Jesus doubles down and he says to them, "Very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep." The image of Jesus as a shepherd makes for a far more natural comparison than comparing Jesus to a gate or a door. And then there's the problem of how can Jesus be both at the same time? Well, these two images are richly layered. They're part of this richly layered extended metaphor that contributes to us understanding who Jesus is and who we are in relation to him. During this time, the function of the gate is to keep the sheep together in the sheepfold during the night, safe from thieves and predators. During the day, the sheep go out following the shepherd to find pasture. The gate and the shepherd work together for the well-being of the sheep so that the flock thrives. And it's helpful to know, understand how these sheepfolds worked during this time. In the villages and the towns themselves, there was a communal sheepfold where all the village flocks could be sheltered when they returned home at night. These were protected by a strong door that had a key that was kept. That key was kept by the gatekeeper. This is what Jesus is referring to in the first part of the passage. However, when the sheep were out in the hills, and especially in the warm season, when they have been out foraging far away to get to any green pasture, they did not return to the village at night at all. As a matter of fact, at night they were collected into sheepfolds that had been created and built on the hillside. These hillside sheepfolds were open spaces enclosed by a wall, a circular wall often built of rocks and stones. And in that circular wall, there was one opening by which the sheep came in and out, but there was no door. At night, the shepherd himself lay in the opening. So no sheep could get out or come in, except to go over his body. And also, nothing dangerous could reach the sheep. In the most literal sense, the shepherd was the door. The shepherd was the gate. And there was no access to the sheepfold except through him. This is what Jesus was thinking of when he said, "I am the gate." Jesus is the gate. Jesus is the shepherd. So which is it? Jesus is both the gate and the shepherd at the same time. At night, the gate that guards and protects the sheep from danger by laying in the opening. In the morning, the shepherd that leads them out to green pasture and provides for their nourishment, for their life in abundance. They do not simply escape the fold when he gets up in the morning. They are led out to find the very best pasture. Jesus is both gate and shepherd for us. Just as each night the shepherd laid down at the opening of the sheepfold, serving as the gate, Jesus has laid down his very life for us. The gate is literally the entry into the sheepfold, but with Jesus, he is the entry into resurrection life, into new life, into abundant life. A life where in the book of we tell us that there will be no more darkness, no more pain, no more weeping, no more sorrow. Just as the shepherd leads the sheep to green pastures, Jesus goes before us to lead us to abundant life. Just as the shepherd knew the sheep by name, Jesus knows us and calls us by name. So then, what is the sheep's responsibility? To know, to listen for, to respond to the shepherd's voice. To spend enough time for us to spend enough time with Jesus that we know his voice in the midst of the many voices that we hear calling to us. To recognize that voice over all the other voices that may promise abundance, but the abundance that they talk about is not the abundance that Jesus promises. To hear that voice, to know it from the others, and to respond when we hear the voice of Jesus calling to us in our life. To trust that Jesus, the shepherd, will care for us. To find security and nourishment as part of his flock. To rest in the knowledge that Jesus is the gate, desiring that nothing should harm us. To follow as the shepherd leads. To allow Jesus to go before us, guiding us and leading us in the right way. Unfortunately, we often desire to be the one who leads. There's an old hymn that says, "Trust and obey, for there's no other way." Remember the song from Messiah that brought my dear husband to tears? He shall lead his flock like a shepherd. This truth echoes also in words that many Christians have clung to over the years of comfort, often read at funerals, memorized as one of the first verses people memorize when they read the Bible. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The shepherd not only leads the sheep, the shepherd also protects them. I never noticed until this morning when I was reading something from Frederick Buechner that this Psalm 23 begins speaking of Jesus, speaking of the shepherd, actually, because this is from the Old Testament. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. It's in the third person. He maketh me to lie down. When you get to the valley of the shadow of death, it changes. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you art with me. You are with me. It changes. It's no longer something out there, someone out there. It is personal. We know God. We know our Savior. We know our shepherd. And we know that our shepherd is with us. The shepherd, as you remember, had the rod and the staff. The rod to gather them to him, that crook, that shepherd's crook. The staff to defend them. It looks like a weapon. And yet, in this passage, we say, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. We are comforted because we know that our shepherd desires to call us to him always and also to keep us far from anything that could harm us. Jesus will guide and defend, will lead and provide. Jesus is the good shepherd who calls us by name, leads us in the paths of righteousness. And Jesus is the gate, the one that stands in the gap between his people and the dark forces of the world. It's as if Jesus stands in that gap and says, you want them? You have to get through me. We do live in a broken world, a world filled with dangers and darkness, but Jesus is reminding us that he has laid his very life in the gap, becoming the gate, that as the hymn I love, the old hymn says, and though this world with devils filled should threaten to undo us, we will not fear, for God has willed his truth to triumph through us. The prince of darkness grim, we tremble not for him. His rage we can endure, for lo, his doom is sure. One little word shall fell him. That word is Jesus, our shepherd. Jesus has laid in the gap so that even death does not ultimately have power over us. As we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, O death, where is your sting? O hell, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is the Word, who has defeated the powers of sin and darkness, and through him, through the gate, we have entry into life. Resurrection life after death but also abundant life here on earth. Jesus laid down his very life in the gap so that we might have life abundantly, not just so that we might live, but so that we might live a life filled with light, a life filled with love, that we might live a life knowing the one true God and Jesus, who God has sent, that we might live a life knowing the good life of life lived in community with the other members of the flock, that we might know the life, knowing the voice of the Good Shepherd who truly cares for us and who is with us in our going in and in our going out, who leads us in the paths of righteousness, who goes before us and is with us 24/7, every minute of every day, ever vigilant to call to us when we stray, that we might live a life knowing that Jesus knows our name, each of our names, and calls us by name, calling to us that we know that in baptism we've even been given a new name, each of us, beloved child of God. Friends, Jesus is calling you by name, desiring to give you the gift of abundant life. Beloved child of God, hear the voice of your shepherd. Know that he is your shepherd, and respond, Jesus, the Good Shepherd, loves you. Thanks be to God.